Welcome everyone to the Fantasy Trail Running Podcast presented by Running Raccoon Racing, an online coaching service to get you to the 5K all the way up to the ultra marathon distance. For more information, visit runningraccoonracing.org. Host Jacob Hopkins, and with me as always is my partner and apparently a good fantasy trail running picker, Chris Heberle. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm well. Good morning, people.
So let's recap just very, very briefly, since we were going to do a whole episode, but we just couldn't get to it, of the Western States. Yes. So we'll be very brief. You did quite well, sir.
I did do quite well. I had 5-5.
5-5.
I had 5-5
in the top 10.
In the top 10. Sure. I think I had one overall that was actually picked, and that was Ruth Croft.
Same. And in fairness, we never claim to be exact. What is it? Precognition? Yeah, you know what the word I'm trying to think?
Precognition.
Yeah, there you go. We're not
the Minority Report.
We're not the Minority Report at all. But we are trying to give like a good representation of who we think will be in the top 10. Yeah. Today will be top 5. But yeah, dude, 5-5. Really impressive. I think that puts you 300th out of like 1,000 odd people.
I was pretty happy with
And what's interesting is it seemed like most people did really well with the men's side. It was a little more predictable. And the women's side was really hard for most people. And I think you did better than most.
Saved me.
For example, I had 7 out of the top 10 on the men's side. And I only had 2 on the women's. And one of those was, in fact, Ruth Croft. So I struggled pretty hard.
I was pretty happy.
We're going to try to reverse that this week
and
do
not
a little better. So true. We're probably not. Hard Rock is insane. Before we started recording, Chris was talking about how hard Hard Rock is. And I was like, well, there it is right in the name. I think the benefit maybe, or maybe this is not a benefit, is that there's only 5 to pick on each side for the fantasy game.
I'll tell you, if I had to choose 10, I don't know that I could do it.
I would just
I would basically have a top 5 and 5 dark horses.
Yeah, I would just start picking names. I'd be like, you know what, it's fine. This one.
You deserve a shot.
You're right, because it's just so crazy. And this course is unlike any other course, really, in the States, as far as just like the insanity of it.
I mean, I would put it up there with some of the big European races.
Yeah, I think it often gets in. Of course,
it's something like 500 feet per mile.
It's a lot. So you know the double is always talked about with Hard Rock and UTMB, and they're both like crazy and all this stuff. I think that's apt.
That's a real good comparison, I think.
For sure. And I believe Travis Longcar said on Twitter that they're going to change the rules a little bit, that you get some points, or the point game will be a little different. So if you're close to the placement and not exact, you won't be so punished. Yeah. That would have helped me a lot because I was like one place off with several of my picks.
Proximity points.
This is why you
should be a name.
This is why you're the co-host, man. I just start blabbing and you give me the actual information I'm looking for. Without further ado, dude, you want to hop right into this thing?
Sure.
All right, let's start, as we did last week, or not last week, but last episode, with the women's race.
Yes.
What are you thinking?
I got to go with my girl Courtney on this for the top seed. I just feel like if Courtney's running well, she is really, really hard to beat in these particular kind of races. Like the super fast races, somebody else could go overtake her. Something like this where she's just got to power through. She's got a next level that most don't have. There's a couple other names down here that I feel like could challenge, but I think Courtney could take it.
Courtney.
Barring anything knocking
like
her
she
out,
had
like
last
medical
week.
Or anything like that.
Exactly. I mean, last year she had, some stomach GI issues, I believe, and dropped.
She sometimes struggles with, but
she clearly addressed that because she did UTMB.
She kicked ass.
She started having GI issues. She switched over to a liquid diet or liquid nutrition, and then pulled it right out and had one of the best performances of all time.
She was a tailwind, right?
I think it was tailwind. I don't remember
exactly. She was a tailwind athlete back in the day.
Yeah. I think it might have been multiple different kinds of sources of liquids, but nevertheless.
Just chucking Coke.
Right. As somebody who also has an easily upset stomach while running and prefers the liquid nutrition, I appreciate that Courtney can perform like that, because I certainly can't perform like that. But I do have Courtney as my number one as well for the exact same reasons. She just has a history of when things are hard, she does the best. Yeah. And she's beat all the men outright on several occasions, and she's like top 10 overall on these really super hard races almost every single time. Yeah. It's just when it comes to a race like this kind of profile, it's like betting against Jim Walmsley at States.
Yes.
It's like, it could race. Happen. It could
it
happen.
It could, absolutely.
But it's kind of a silly bet to make. So why would you do it?
I think she's got that, you know, some of these athletes just have that next level quality, and it yes. doesn't apply to every scenario.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't apply to every race. Correct. But, like, this is the race where that next level quality, 100% applicable.
She's a legend in the sport now, and will definitely be legendary when she's done.
She's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. What you got, number two? This is where it starts to get a little gritty, I think.
Oh, it just got gritty right out the gate on yep. this side. So I went with Darcy Picquieu.
Yeah, good choice.
I failed in my my desire to preview all the pronunciations of these names.
I believe
so I apologize
Pichu,
in advance. Picquieu?
Picquieu.
Picquieu.
Okay. I believe.
I apologize
so you're right there
in advance. I meant to do that, and I just did not have time.
Hey, I actually look up pronunciations and then forget by the time it's time for me to say it, so I will
need to,
also
write them out phonetically.
Yeah, I actually did that with Darcy's name, because I was like, yeah, that's definitely one I will mess up. So
okay, I went with Darcy. She has been looking very strong. I lost my little form there, but yeah, I can't remember what races she has done recently, but she looked like she was on this very steep upward trajectory and was pulling in some really, really heavy stuff.
So I actually have Darcy as well, but at number three.
Oh, okay.
I got her at third, and I've got some info on her, so.
Okay.
She was ninth at Hard Rock.
Yes, okay.
Second last year. Oh, no, this is her ninth Hard Rock. I'm sorry, I misspoke. This is going to be her ninth Hard Rock.
Dang.
Think about that, right?
How?
Second last year is what I was meaning to say.
Yes, and that's what I knew. Second last year. I think she's going to be second again.
Okay. And she's not done a lot of racing this year. That's kind of why I bumped her down to third. That could be a good thing, though. And that could be where you're like, you know, she's coming in fresh and rested. Honestly, Darcy's a name I've seen pop up time to time, but I normally am not following so closely, so I don't really know how well she performs coming off. I tried to do the best I could research coming off rest versus coming off some good racing.
Yeah.
I think she's going to do well, but I went ahead, just gut feeling, put her at
three. At three. I put her at two because I think I went back far enough. I didn't see that she had nine Hard Rock stats. I didn't go back that far, but I went back over the last like year or two, and basically that was what I came away with, was that she was – basically, this whole year, I think she came in second last year.
Yep.
I think she's using this whole entire year as training to take this.
Could be. So, I mean, if anybody's going to know the course well, it's going to be her, right? Like, she knows what to expect.
That is wild.
I guess also, too, we should probably mention, just in case there actually is someone out here who's new-ish to the ultra scene, the trail running scene, and is playing fantasy trail running. I don't think there's probably many of you, but there might be. Is Hard Rock likes to switch directions every year.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people that are returning from last year, it's cool they've got that experience, but we're going the other direction now. So
it's just like if you've ever driven somewhere and then tried to drive back from it, it's a whole different drive.
It's new ball game. All that to say, Darcy, having done this, this will be the ninth time, she's seen it all, so she's going to be very, very versed. All right, so that's number two for you. What you got for number three? Let's keep tracking down this.
Number three, I went with Maggie.
Okay.
Maggie Goodrill. I wanted her, I almost put her at second, because I don't know, it's Maggie.
Yep.
When she's fighting well, or when she's running well, she can take some stuff. She's run with Courtney a lot. They run a lot together. Ran
the Barkley.
Barkley a bunch of other little things. Really hard races.
Yes.
That's her jam. But I felt like her trajectory over this last year or two isn't quite where it needs to be that competitive at Hard Rock, so I put her in third.
Okay. I've got Maggie. I believe it's Gutero. Not 100% sure. We could always go with Megatron, though.
Megatron!
1,000% safe, and it's also an awesome nickname. I put her at second, so that's where we flopped. Okay, so we're right there in the same kind of thing.
I almost did.
So she won Cocodona for the women.
Yeah.
And was seventh overall. Cocodona is outrageously difficult at 250 miles and through the desert and gnarly terrain. I don't know what more you want.
Right.
Temperature-wise, we're going to be different than Silverton, Colorado, but still, I think, you know, terrain-wise and just
wildly
the
different
fatigue factor is probably going to be very similar.
Yeah, I would say that. I'll say...
go ahead.
I was just going to point out an interesting note that I was just realizing yesterday is that there's an inverse relationship between the parity in as the race distance goes on.
Yes.
So like, the shorter the race, the more likely repeat performances, and you can accurately predict placement.
Sure.
The further the race, so thinking about like 200s, 250s, things like that, it's like you just got to throw your hands up, right? Exactly.
There's too much variables. So yeah, just a couple quick more notes on Megatron here.
Oh yes.
Second at Biggs, 12th overall. Yeah. So that's really impressive, and she also just did the vertical K at the Broken Arrow Sky Race.
Yeah. So. She kind of like 20-something on that?
Yeah, it wasn't like, I'm not sure that she was actually, there's no way to say. I don't know if she was full gas or just like little bit of like
it's a
fun warm-up. Warm-up for Hard Rock, K. Yeah, it's a vertical K. What kind of sadistic nonsense is this? So number two for me, number three for you.
I think we're
our top three, close, all the same people. We're just slightly different order.
We get those proximity points.
We do get those proximity points. Fourth. Right,
number four, I went with Debbie Livingston.
Yeah, we are on track
now. Are you serious?
We're back on track. Yeah, I also went with Debbie. So
that's
put
amazing.
That in the bank, guys. Number one and number four
that
are locked
amazing.
In. So what drew you to Debbie?
Debbie was... Hold on one second. Sorry.
Well, I'll tell you why I got
you
Debbie
tell me
real
why
quick
you got
while
Debbie.
You pull up your notes here.
Ah, because she's been first... or second in every race.
So I looked that up too.
For
I wanted
like
to see what she was doing.
3 years.
So just this year, she's ran five times, won all of them but one. That's insane.
The number one thing that tipped me over?
Yes.
With her to put her in fourth, she won. Sorry. She won the Hurt 100.
Yes. So that's also part of my notes is this year won the Hurt 100 in Hawaii. Notoriously difficult race as far as terrain goes.
And of course, if you want to talk about brutality.
That's... Right. In the only race that she did not win this year, she came in second, was a 16-mile race. So that is short and sharp. Like us ultra people, you can't expect them to always be super speedy against these, road demons. But all the ultra distance stuff, smashing.
Yeah.
Absolutely smashing.
So this... Bighorn Mountain, she came in sixth.
But. Yeah, that's another pretty gnarly one. I wouldn't be surprised if Debbie outperforms fourth.
I mean, she could very well go higher than fourth.
Yes.
I only put her at fourth just because of the people that were above her.
Yeah, I think there's respect to be put on those top three that we chose.
Yeah.
You got to put some respect on those names. They've earned it. That's not to disrespect Debbie, though.
The other thing was that aside from the Hurt 100, most of the other races weren't Hard Rock caliber or vicinity even. So that's why I was like, I was going to put her there. I think if she has her day and she is as strong as she seems like she is, she could go up.
You just don't let Debbie run away if you can help it because you may not see her.
Right.
So you got to be careful. If I'm one of the other ladies, you got to keep an eye on Debbie. All right, so that's top four. We've got one more to pick from. Who are you throwing in that last slot?
My last slot, I went with Megan Hicks.
Oh, my God.
Are we all aligned
together, dude.
Dang!
Megan was third last year.
Yes. That's the other reason why I struggled with these Darcy and Megan because where they placed last year, it was like, you know, it was really tight. Megan just didn't have the other races to back up that placement quite as much as Darcy did. So
same.
That's why I put her at fifth.
Same. I'm just not sure where she's at feeling, you know, where she has. There's no races that jump out to me right now that say, okay, coming in super peak performance.
Right.
Problem is, though, it's just like third last year. That's nothing to sneeze at. So it very well could be third again, second, first.
It could absolutely. Oh, it was the John Kappas. Mm. Was that very similar to the Barkley?
Oh, okay. I'm not super familiar with that.
I was looking it up last night because I hadn't been out either. But it's basically like the West's version of the Barkley.
Okay,
it's very similar rules.
I gotcha.
All off trail and, you know,
pure chaos.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a solid top five, and I think, to be honest, that can go in any order, but I feel really good. Let's throw out a dark horse if you've got one.
I've got a dark horse. Give me 1 second. It was.
I should have. I'll throw my dark horse out, and we'll see if we match up. This one was hard because you can only pick five. I felt like there's a good six or seven that should be in there, but my dark horse was Hannah Green. She's got two races already in Silverton this year, so she's kind of familiar with the she's getting familiar with the terrain, the environment. Seventh at Hard Rock in 2017, so she got some experience on the course. It's just those other ladies, I just felt like they were going to rule the day.
She's the other one that ran the John Kappas.
Oh, there you go, dude. There's a lot of tough ladies out there.
Yeah, brutal. But that was the thing, like, aside from that, she hasn't raced in a while, so that's why I looked at her. I looked at her, but she hasn't really raced in a while aside from that John Kappas, which is just a different type of race.
Right. It's almost like you were saying with the Barkley, it's a race, but it's not a race.
Yeah.
It's like
survive. Yes, exactly.
Like a little different there. It's like bushcrafting and camping. Yeah, you're both out in the woods, but they're very different activities. I feel really good about those picks. I think we're going to do well.
I still got my dark horse.
Oh, you haven't got your dark horse. For some reason, I thought you were with me on Hannah. Damn.
I was almost there.
You were almost there. Okay.
I almost picked her, but I didn't.
All right.
I went with a deep cut, and I went with Sandra Carpenter.
Ooh, okay. hit me why. What's the reason here?
She has performed kind of well in some 50-milers. She came in 10th at the High Lonesome 100 in Salida, Colorado. Came in 2nd in the Black Hills 50-miler. A couple other races like that. I don't know. That's why she's a dark horse.
That makes sense.
She basically has, based off her races, I think she has some capability to do something.
Yes.
I don't know what that is, but if she has her day, if she performs well, she could do something.
I feel like you went with a
real
something like it'd be like an actual dark horse, you know, somebody with a resume, but maybe not the recognition
exactly
of some of these other runners. Whereas I kind of just like cheated and picked like sixth.
Damn.
Well, you know, it's what the game
I respect Hannah. She's done some stuff,
right? Calling her a dark horse though may be unfair to Hannah. So I guess that's my point. All right. Let's move on to the men's side, and I don't think it's unfair to say that this could be the most anticipated men's field, at least in recent memory.
Yeah, there's a showdown for first, I think.
We've got champion upon champion upon legend.
I mean, there's some names in here.
Yeah.
Even if they haven't been anywhere for a while.
I mean, I was just looking through the men's, and you look at their resumes, and some of them you already know. Some of them maybe you're less familiar with, but I mean, basically in this men's field, somebody's won all of the hardest races on the planet, basically.
Yes.
I mean, like, it's insane. I guess the big question is now, because I feel like everyone that's playing this game is going to put Killian or Francois at number one. And the question is, who takes that number one spot?
Okay, so Killian v. Francois
yeah, dude.
Is a really, 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 really hard choice, but
it's goat versus goat.
It's goat versus goat, but I think they have different qualities.
They do. They very much do.
I think, so Killian, based off pure athletic performance and ability, Killian is different than anybody else on the planet.
Absolutely.
I think if he is, but he struggles
psychologically. Yeah.
Mostly, he gets lonely.
And the loneliness, dude. That guy likes to race with people.
He's like the least competitive person.
That's 100% Killian.
He's 100%. If he's not having fun.
Yes.
If he's not trying to do something, if he's not locked into the moment, Francois very easily could overtake him because Francois is going to be right there with him.
Yes.
But if Killian's locked in, if Killian's having fun,
yes.
I really think he's impossible to beat.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah, I think if he is on his game, there's no one on the planet that can take him.
In my opinion, that is the, the most accurate description of Killian is if he's having fun, because it feels like that's how Killian lives his life.
Absolutely.
Am I having fun? If not, he's not interested. And I think that's a beautiful way to go about your life.
I mean, he's a beautiful person in that regard. Watching his stories, like, that's his life. That's how he lives. He just doesn't see the point in doing something if it's not giving you joy.
He is the Marie Kondo of ultra running. If it doesn't bring you joy, get it out of here, dude.
I appreciate that. So you got, I want to emulate that.
I think it should be. Like, if you're not doing this for fun, what are you doing? So you got Killian number one?
I got Killian number one, and I went with Francois number two.
Okay.
Which was a hard choice only because Francois won UTMB like four times or something like that.
Basically, if Francois shows up to UTMB, he's going to win.
Francois at UTMB is Walmsley at Western States. Yeah. Like, it's just their 100% their race. He's just such a strong runner.
And smart runner.
And a smart runner. He doesn't put himself in dangerous situations. He doesn't overextend himself, which is why I put him in second.
Sure.
Because he's never going to kill himself to beat Killian.
Right.
He's going to slog and hope Killian screws up.
Yes.
And if things align how they should, that's how I got him in second.
Okay. That lines up with what I have. I've got Killian at number one, Francois at number two, for very similar reasons. I think, you know, it's interesting because Francois took Killian's record last year on UTMB.
Oh, yeah.
I think that gives Killian a little bit of motivation. I don't think he really so much cares about the legacy of these records lasting per se, but I think it gives him that target.
Like fire something.
Yeah, it gives him that fun thing to chase.
Yeah.
He's also repping his brand now that he just started normal.
Yeah, yeah,
so I think there's a little bit of motivation to get back out to remind people that he is the GOAT.
He's got that ambassadorship.
Yeah, and like, look at me be the GOAT in my new brand now. I think that's important. And I think I have to imagine Killian gets just as excited as the rest of us about these kind of races, even though he's part of the excitement, but I think he kind of understands that.
He's that kind of kid that is just like, he's just there to have fun, and I think he would 100% take part in like this kind of thing.
So, oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Francois, exactly what you said. He's the defending champ. He won at Hard Rock, and then just a couple weeks later, smashed it at UTMB again.
Yeah.
Probably one of the smartest runners, as far as racing, I should say. Probably one of the smartest mountain racers on the planet.
Agree.
And when there's somebody that's so consistent every single time out, it's just really difficult because you have to race to the maximum of your ability, but then you also have to not mess up at any point. And on a 100-mile race, I don't care if it's completely
really
flat,
hard.
It's not an easy thing to do.
That is really hard. If anybody can do it.
Yeah, if anybody can do it, for sure, Killian. That said, though, it pains me to put Francois in second.
I vacillated on that for a while until I came down to the if Killian's having fun thing.
Yeah.
And that was really the only reason why I, like, fully committed to putting him in first.
Yeah, as good as Francois is, I do, in my heart of hearts, believe that Killian is the better athlete.
Yes.
I mean, I watched a documentary where Killian went from the base camp of Everest, like the very, very base camp, and in a single day push, went all the way up to the summit and then came back down.
Which is just like insane.
Yeah, like he was passing people going up to like base camp three or something. And
can
they
you
were
imagine?
Asking, oh, yeah.
He's like 60-year-old guys that have paid $1 million to go.
Right. Just paid $80,000 to get somebody to carry their gear up.
It's running up the mountain.
And if anybody's not familiar with mountaineering, so typically with a mountain like Everest, you have to acclimate. So you go up to like a base camp. There's like typically four base camps. You go up, you kind of let your body adjust. You go back down so you can like recoup, and then you go back up again. You push up to the next one. It's like
it takes like months.
It's a long process. Yeah. It's a long, long process. Killian decides to do it the old school, like hard man way, in one day from bottom to top. So it's not a thing that normal people can do.
Yeah.
So 1 and 2, I think that is a lock. Not necessarily in that order, but I think it's a lock.
I think it's a lock that there'll be 1, 2.
Right. Those guys don't mess
down,
up.
It's anybody's
how it
guess.
Out. All right, so now we're going to get to where it starts getting a little wild.
I went with Jeff Browning.
Ooh, God, dude, Jeff Browning is such a good pick.
I went with Jeff because, I mean, dude is solid.
Bronco Billy.
He is, again, somebody that's first or second in everything he's running. He's run some really good races.
Yes. Some great results. He's won Hard Rock, I believe. I can't remember what year.
He ran the Magoyan Monster in 2021. He came in fifth in Hard Rock in 21.
It was like 2019, I think. 2018. It was right before COVID shut everything down, I believe. That
he did, 2018.
2018, okay,
2018,
there it is.
2018, he won that, came in third in Run Rabbit Run. Came in first in Pinhoti. Dude's a beast.
I like Jeff.
I like Jeff. I think he's got legs. I don't think he can compete in any realm with Killian or Francois.
Sure.
And so that's why he's a solid lock in third for me.
Jeff is he's in that weird transitional period of ultra runners from the old guard, like the Hal Corners and like the Jurics and stuff like that were on the scene and kind of coming out. And he's still performing now with like this new surgeon with the new fresh faces. And he still throws it down. But it's fun because you can go look up if you can find any of the old videos. You can see Jeff out there just crushing it, man, like years now. I don't have Jeff on here. So
you don't have Jeff on there at all?
I don't, dude. And it pained me because I like Jeff. I think Jeff could do good. It's just this list is...
It's also had a lot of really recent stuff,
too. This list is savage, man.
This list is savage.
I think he's going to have a great day out there, though. Don't get it wrong. I think he's going to have a great day.
Who you got in third?
So third... this kid is just... He's not even a kid. He's a grown-ass man now. A legend. John Kelly. Tennessee boy.
Oh.
John Kelly. Multiple Barkley finisher. My man has been over in Great Britain for a while now. He has been crushing the fell running there. So if you're not familiar with fell running...
I'm actually not. Enlighten us.
So, you know how the British do? They got crazy words that we don't use over here in America. Their fells is basically their mountains, like mountain running. So they've got all... There's this sweet, sweet storied culture of fell running. There's a lot of FKT stuff with the fell running. And it's normally really, really gnarly terrain. And of course, beautiful British weather. And John, obviously, you know, that's his bread and butter.
I mean, he came from here, so.
Right. And he's
Southeast.
Been crushing it over there. That kid
that
is just
actually
strong.
Make a lot of sense.
I think he's going to excel at this particular kind of terrain.
I almost put John Kelly down. I don't even have him in my top five.
Sacrilege.
Yeah, I don't have him in my top five. And the reason why...
There's no reason. You can't reason this. You can't reason not having John Kelly in your top five. Don't tell the people that.
Oh, this is why. Oh, wait, no.
See? Right See, one. even your notes tell you no. Let me tell you what I put in my notes under John Kelly. I have a single word for my notes under John Kelly.
Barkley.
And the word is legendary. And that's I mean, all there is.
Dude is a massive Oh, I know why. Because he hasn't really done much of anything in at least 2 years.
Official races, no, but like I'm telling you, dude, this fell racing, this FKT stuff, just being a hard man out in the trail, that's what John Kelly does. He doesn't need ultra sign up to like validate his skills. He's out there crushing stuff, man.
Legends don't need
Legends
accolades.
Don't need that. That's right, dude. This man lives on his own. No, I think
that was probably a good choice. That was a good choice. Yeah.
And I think if the weather turns gnarly, which it often does out there,
that'll go in his
favor. I think that goes in his favor, man, because he is always out there in the worst conditions. So he actually just set, I can't remember, it was like 286 mile race, 300 something. I don't know, one of these crazy long races out there. In the UK. And I believe he won that one as well, or set a record.
The Montane Spine races, 268 miler.
There it is.
It was in 2020. He came in first.
Okay.
He took that. He won first. Took first.
Monster. I think he's going to be up there. I would love to see Killian, Francois, and John create a little pack, run, and just see what happens. And that very well may happen.
That would be solid.
So we'll see. Solid. All right. Number four, let's move along.
Number four, I went with Nick Corey.
Oh, man, I like it. I like it. I really do.
I went with Nick. He's a squirrely, squirrely dude. He's been putting up a lot of races. He's run a lot this year, but they've all been, like, fairly conservative races. First, seconds, thirds, depending on the distance, but I feel like he looks like his trajectory based off his race schedule is like leading towards this.
So. Nick Curry is that guy who I don't think has the respect on his name that his resume definitely demands.
I think in the last 2 years since his brother got sick and started getting a name, I think Nick might feel a little left behind and starting to push out all these races to get his name out there.
Maybe. It's weird because Nick is super consistent, very smart runner, also a very strong runner.
I mean, you can tell because there's none of these that he's fallen down like way low in the ratings. Like every one, he's first, second, third, maybe fourth, but which is all a very steady running is what it means.
As far as personalities go, too, a great personality, great person, and it's going to be fun, I think, for just us like hardcore fans because the Curry brothers will be both racing. Because I believe Jamil's on the list, I believe.
Oh, shit.
So I don't think Jamil's going to, I don't think Jamil's interested in trying to place, but Jamil's always out there for the adventure, dude.
Yeah.
But Nick, on the other hand, Nick's normally, I get the sensation that Nick's the more competitive of the two, whereas Jamil is the more adventurous of the two.
I just want to clarify, I didn't sleep last night, so my brain just conflated two people. I can't guarantee Jamil Corey was not sick.
that's why we're always going to make sure that we record when you have not slept, because it will be fine. So number four, Nick Curry for you, right?
I got Nick Corey. I just basically want him to do something.
I will him
into the belt.
I like it. My number four, I put Dakota Jones. So he's been doing, this was a weird one for me because like his current race resume doesn't scream I'm going to succeed at Hard Rock at all. Strava's pretty rad. He's been doing a lot of short, sharp races and he's been crushing it. And it's not like Dakota's not known for being able to run gnarly terrain anyways.
Right.
So it's like,
I mean, Dakota has a history.
That's the thing, right? Like some of these, he's almost in a little bit of an older guard kind of scenario.
He is, even
though he's still fairly young.
He is, but
I think resumes play a huge factor in this kind of stuff.
He got into the ultra running scene young.
Yeah.
So that's why he's an old guard, but he's
like a baby.
Still young.
Yeah. Now it's kind of common to see like these younger cats coming in. But when Dakota did it, it was like, what are you doing here, man? Like, you don't want to do the road race stuff first?
No, he's up running with the old men.
Yeah, dude. He's out there crushing them, too. Like, sorry about it. Hit you harder than osteoporosis, man.
He opened that door for those road runners to come in.
I got a feeling with his background and him doing and succeeding at this short, very sharp racing, that might roll into some good performances out here. So
that could very well.
We'll see. It's a gamble, I think. I do admit it's a gamble.
I like it though.
Because I almost put Jeff Browning there because I was like, ooh, Jeffy, but nah, we're gonna see.
That was the same way with Dakota.
I'm telling you.
Like, I went through Dakota and I was like, I originally had him in my top five. I don't remember where I had him because I think that was when I was initially just throwing names up there. I almost had him and he ended up parodying out.
But. Yeah. I think And, it, you know, people change, people adapt. It's just, we're going to go back to Jeff for just a second, though. Jeff is a competitor, dude. He's a competitor through and through. And so I can see Jeff, like, not caring that he might not have a great finish, but wanting to compete. And so going out and just seeing. Let's just see. Yeah. Right? And I appreciate that.
Throw the spaghetti at the wall.
So, yeah, why not, dude? Like, go and do it and see what happens. Because could you imagine if Jeff Browning beats Killian and Francois and John Kelly? It would be incredible. It's not going to happen, but I want to see him try.
That would be insane.
It would be insane. Go for it, Jeff.
I can't even
go
for it. Yeah, you do it. You do it, Jeff. Jeff. Go for it.
All right, number five. This is where I'm about to get controversial. I'm about to get controversial.
I went with Mancoop.
Oh, shit! I went with Coop!
Are you serious?
We're going to be so controversial, dude. So controversial. Jason Coop, CTS, legendary coach. Often a controversial figure in the ultra-running community because he's a little prickly about his opinions.
he has very hard-lined opinions.
Very hard-lined opinions. And when you read him online, too, he's very black and white. I feel like you have to listen to him when he's talking to Billy Yang and Sally McRae to get, like, the real Coop.
Get these people that balance him a little bit.
Yeah, and like, soften his edges a little bit.
Yeah.
Dude, so, why Coop? Why Coop?
Why Coop? Because he's been training really hard.
Yes.
He ran Cocodona, performed really well at Cocodona.
Yes.
I mean, he's much older now. He's sort of transitioned into mostly training for a while, but in the last, basically since COVID, I think, he really went back into the training scene himself, started running these races, and I think he's got a real solid shot of getting up there in fifth. It's basically where he's been placing is right there in that fourth, fifth area, so...
I agree. I normally would not have put Coop in this top five, especially at Hard Rock. But watching Cocodona, he went out super hard in the scheme of a Cocodona-style race. And then he just stayed there for, like, a long time.
When he took off in Cocodona,
yeah,
I fully expected that to be, like, the, you know, first little spurt, and then you slow down.
Right. Just ease up a little bit.
And he just kept going.
Yeah, dude.
For hours and hours and hours. And I was blown away when at, what was it, like, the halfway mark or something like that, he was still in...
Third, I think.
Yeah, I think it was third. He hung on to third for...
Almost the entire race. That's what blew my mind. I'm like, Coop, do you know who's racing? Like, have you seen who lined up?
Coop don't care.
He did not care, dude. Did not care at all. There was no respect given to any of these big names. He's like, yeah, I'm an old man coach with a, you know, like, questionable reputation online. And I'm going to send it to you boys and girls.
I think he reminded me a little bit of, like, Speed Goat.
Yeah, that way. Like Carl, dude.
I do not care about you people. Yep. I'm running my race.
I'm going to do what I want to do. Yeah, the Cocodona thing blew my mind. And he probably, it's pure speculation, probably would have held on to third had he not apparently fell. Bumped his knee and was in a ton of pain, from what I gather.
He still crushed that end in a lot of pain.
And that is the only thing that
I saw the photos.
Yeah, I heard the photos were gnarly. Did not see. But that's my only question mark is the knee better?
From what I gather, I mean, based off...
You know, sure, what you're seeing. Like,
yeah, followed on social, people keep asking about his knee, and he's saying he's good. He's good to go. So.
Good. That's my hope, too, right? Yeah. Is that that's accurate. It's not going to... create a problem. It was just a little bit bruised and banged, and he's going to be good to go. I think Coop is a sleeper choice here on this race. I think this is terrain that probably benefits him.
I think it's definitely a terrain that, because it's not fast.
Yes, not
it's
quick.
It's a slow slog race, and I think he has been working, and he's been doing a lot of really steep training,
right?
And I think that's going to play.
And him and Dakota are buddies.
They are.
They're friends.
He's Dakota's coach.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was still Dakota's coach or not.
I don't know if he still is, but I know he was at least the last book.
For a long time, yeah, he was. So, you know, I could see them getting out there and, like, pack up a little bit, chat, and have a good time. And that would help morale for both, for sure.
Well, this is going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. Dark horse.
My dark horse, Dakota.
Oh, nice.
Like, I can 100% see Dakota and Coop hanging together.
Yeah.
I just think he's just not there. And I think it's because he hasn't really been racing.
Yes.
He's been training pretty hard. But I don't know. There's just something about Dakota that I didn't want to put him in the top five. That I don't know
sense.
Why.
That makes
he
sense.
Just
no, I mean,
fell out.
So. It's a weird fantasy game. Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. It's ultra running. There's no rhyme or reason exactly. Sometimes. You just got to go with your gut.
Well, I know why, because I had him up there, and then the other people, I think it was Jeff Browning, actually, kicked
bumped
him out.
Yeah. So we're going to be real similar here on our top. This is going to be a little different, though, but I did pick Nick Curry.
Well, win or lose will be a lot closer on our scoring.
Yes.
So you went with Nick Curry.
Nick Curry is my dark horse. So the only difference is Jeff.
That is wild.
You got Jeff, I got John.
That's right.
That's the only difference.
It's the only outlier. But everything else, we're at least in line.
The reason I put Nick as the dark horse is because he's a killer runner. He does the best, though, it seems, at the hamster wheel races. So if you put him on a track and say, hey, man, run around this thing for like 72 hours or something, he's like, I got you.
I saw he came, I don't remember what the race, maybe it was the jump. No, it wasn't that. It was in the dome thing.
Oh, yeah,
it's 172 miles or something like that in 24
disgusting,
hours.
Disgusting, dude.
It's like, what?
If y'all want a wild read, you can search online. I can't remember where he wrote it at, but he's got this article about running negative split, 100-miler negative split.
Oh, my God.
And so he, sure enough, I think it's one of these, like, track timed races.
For me to run a 100-miler in negative splits, I would have to start out, like, at 1 mile an hour.
I mean, right, dude? Like, and he's got this whole, like, philosophy about it. And it's a really fascinating read, but it's also, like, when you just think about the implications of that, you're like, who can run 100 miles with a negative split style racing?
I like the spirit about it, because from a coaching perspective, like, if you're coaching an athlete to go, you want them to conserve as much as possible in that beginning, and knowing on a 100-mile race, like, you're going to have the fatigue factor set
absolutely.
In. So you just save as much as you can and then try to keep pushing.
It's pretty fascinating. The Curry brothers love, like, going up. I mean, there's a reason their company is, you know, it's got the whole slogan of
run steep, get high,
like the ha ha, wink wink, nudge nudge, you know, like, that's funny. So, like, it's not like this isn't comfortable terrain for him.
It's their world.
He's a shark. He just may be a smaller shark amongst bigger sharks.
True. I'll give you that. He's also very good at those hot races.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's live out there in, like, on the slight surface of the sun. So that seems the reason. Yeah, I think he'll do well, though. I wouldn't surprise me for him to see the top five, but...
All those could...
Yeah.
Well, except for Killian and Francois.
Everybody
else is wiggling down.
Somebody's going to have to Tanya Hardy.
Okay, you'll be able to see my hands wiggling on the audio.
You can totally
audio.
See it, yeah. Just listen to the air disturbance. wow, dude, that's... I honestly thought Hard Rock was going to be a crazy scatter plot for us.
Me too.
And we are way more locked in on our decisions.
When I was looking at this last night, I was like, I don't know, we're going to be like two different worlds of people here. I'm just like picking names out of the bottom. It doesn't hurt that the entrance list for Hard Rock is so small.
That is true.
It's a small race.
Problem is, small race with nothing but killers. So, and then you put killers into a course that is a killer course designed to kill the killers.
Absolutely.
And it is chaos. I'm curious to see how this will play out because we'll get some of those proximity points.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that'll help.
Hopefully,
they've
instituted that at this point.
I hope so too. I didn't. I should have reached out to Travis to get clarification on when that
hits. That would be nice.
But we're going to fingers crossed that they got that in. I think based on our decisions here, you can pick these 10 people safely, or
I'm pretty safe.
12.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with these. I would 100% support any of these names being in the top five.
There you go, man. This is a enlightened episode of the Fantasy Trail Running.
Speaking of enlightenment, I just want to throw a quick shout out to the 40 and up crowd.
Yeah,
apparently, there's a lot of 40 and up people doing really hard things in this ultra community.
Keep doing it, man. Like
two-thirds of the entrants.
Them
are
young,
over 40,
fast whippersnappers. In case y'all didn't know, me and Chris are both over 40 or 40 and over. Those young whippersnappers, man, they're still interested in the speed. They're not interested in hurting so much just yet.
Yeah.
Where you get old, you're like, life is pain.
You're hurting anyway.
let's just do it. Like, life's not going to get any better. Let's just go hard.
JK, we always believe in working your body and doing our thing.
We do. So that's been the Hard Rock 100 2022. I had to figure out what year it was. Edition. That's also what happens when you get old. Thanks for joining us. We're going to check in. Hopefully we can do, if our schedules work out, a recap episode on this one.
We got to do a recap.
We need to do a recap. Yeah. I feel like Hard Rock's going to have some cool stories and it'll be some fun
conversation. I'm very excited about this race.
Lock in your picks now at fantasy.freetrail.com. No, is it free trail running? It's just free trail, right? Fantasy.freetrail.com.
Yeah.
I've got it saved. That's why I don't have the website right off the top of my head, because I just go to the save tab.
It is fantasy.freetrail.com.
There it is. Throw your picks in right now. It is super fun, super easy, and then when it's over, you can scroll through and see.
Free.
And it's free. Come on now, free. I enjoyed looking at the Western States results and just looking at all the actual pro runners that are playing too. I believe I saw Ellie Pell, who was
she was in the race.
Did the race.
Wait, is she going to get Pete Rose?
Is there rules against this? Yeah, is she Pete Rose now? Don't do that to Ellie. She was playing, and she did really well, and I think that's really cool that
on my list?
Yeah, not only are they pros are playing, but they're playing and running these races at the same time, and that's really cool to me.
It's a great thing for the sport in general and for this fantasy aspect as well.
Well, that's our episode. We'll catch you next race. Do you have the next race?
I meant to go look that up and I didn't. So
my brain was
fried. We'll be with you soon.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.